Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Brannon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. We're going to have a panel tonight. We'll be joined by pastor and attorney, Dr. Andy Woods. And then we'll be joined by also Leo Holman, journalist, historian, Bill Federer. Last night, a speech, I believe, and I'm not being sarcastic, I believe a speech worthy of Adolf Hitler. Just as Adolf Hitler went after his political opponents and sought to dehumanize them, that being mostly Jews. Last night, Joe Biden apparently was trying to set up Christians, conservatives, and patriots and deem them literally, as he said, quote, a clear and present danger, end quote. The kind of language you normally hear only used related to foreign enemies or well-known domestic terrorists, not the fabricated domestic terrorists he's made out patriots and Christians and conservatives to be. Apparently now, Crazy Joe is trying to walk it back, but you can't. It was a speech. He was reading it from a teleprompter. It's not like what I do here every night during Brannon House Live. I talk to you right off the top of my head. No teleprompter ever during Brannon House Live. So, occasionally, I suppose I could get a little energized and maybe say something that, oh, I really shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have said it that way, or with that tone. But you can't make that excuse when you're reading it from a teleprompter. Not only did he read it, he likely read it before he read it from the teleprompter. He likely had it on paper and practiced it on paper. If not, having practiced it actually standing at a teleprompter in the White House. Not to mention, oftentimes, speeches given by a president are viewed and reviewed by scores of staff members. Not just the guy that wrote it, but a lot of staff. Well, they ask, they're asked to provide input. It's also very common for major agencies within the federal government to read the speech of a president. Department of Homeland Security, the Justice Department, the State Department. Depending on what the speech is about, it's not uncommon to have the heads or at least the attorneys and the policymakers of some major government agencies read said speech before it's delivered. So how can you walk back a speech that was actually pretty well rehearsed in a speech given by Joe Biden before another live audience about a week ago? I watched that tonight. Pretty much the same speech he gave last night. This is nothing new. This is what his Department of Homeland Security and administration has been saying since they came in. Lest we forget, I showed you this document a year ago. This came out June of 2021. The National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. It went after conservative, patriots, MAGA people that want to make America great again. This administration has openly declared war on the American people, and they've just done it again. This time, from the very podium of the president, standing in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, with two Marines, color guards, behind him, as though to say, don't forget, I literally have the military behind me. Are you going to use that, Joe, to crush the American people? You've said in a speech before that the American people cannot oppose your policies, and if they disagree and think they're going to somehow stop them, well, they need to have military hardware. You've made that kind of comment in a speech. I watched that again yesterday or today. This guy's sending all the messages of someone that, as Dr. Andy Wood said on my radio show today, knows what's coming. He's laying the narrative for it. We're now hearing from Judge Napolitano. We're hearing from Newt Gingrich that they believe the Justice Department will indict President Trump. They're not saying they agree with said indictment if it happens. They're just saying they believe this is how it's going to roll. Well, let's pray no one on the conservative side or the Make America Great side, the Patriot Act side, or the Patriot Movement side, makes such a stupid decision to do something violent, because that's what they want. Seems as though they're really working hard to lay the narrative for something they know is coming. What kind of false flag operation do you think they already have planned? Can I say that again? What kind of false flag operation do you think they already have planned? Because they sure seem to be working hard to lay a narrative and say, oh, we told you. Now, because these people are a clear and present danger, we have to take said options. Now they're going to pass more legislation and enact legislation or take advantage of already passed legislation or emergency powers that the president could enact to go after millions of Americans. I don't know what's coming, but again, attorney and pastor Dr. Woods on my show today said they clearly know something's coming that you and I don't. And many of us feel that as we go into the fall. We're going to go to Dr. Woods, Leo Holman, and Bill Federer in just a minute. But first, we have breaking news out of Alabama. Joining me to talk about this is someone I just had a very quick conversation with on the phone. Met him through Mike Lindell. He's in Alabama. Ty Coffey. Ty, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for jumping on here real quick tonight.
Sure. How are you doing this afternoon?
Great. Thank you so much.
Good evening now.
Yeah. Tell us, what's the ruling that's come down in Shelby County, Alabama?
Well, Brandon, I'm a part of a group called Local Alabama, and a member of our group actually filed a lawsuit. His name's Lynn, and he filed a lawsuit back in late August requesting that the CVRs from the 3 November 2020 election be preserved.
That would be cast and, vote records, CVR, cast vote records, right?
That's right. It's what comes out, the tape on the side of the machines for ES&S, and pretty much all the machines have some form of this. They may look a little different, but they're all pretty much the same information. And so a court case was originally set for the 20th of September, but federal law requires that all of the election-related materials for federal elections be kept for 22 months. And tomorrow, being the 3rd of September, 2022, 22 months runs out. And so the county was going to be able, by law, to destroy those. And so Lynn actually put in a request yesterday to have an emergency injunction put into place. And Judge Laura Alvis of Shelby County, she's the circuit judge, she granted that request and has prohibited the probate judge, who's being sued in the case, from destroying any of the records relating to the 3 November 2020 election for Shelby County here in Alabama.
Well, that is great news. That is great news. Thank you for bringing us that great report. But you do know that Joe Biden last night spoke about people like you. What did you think of his speech?
Yeah.
Because he's speaking about, again, people like you that are doing what you're talking about right now.
This is how much I think about it. I actually didn't watch it last night.
Well,
I'm a big political activist, but like I didn't have any energy for it last night. So.
I totally get it. You might want to go to frankspeech.com and tune in, because we're about to play some clips and highlights and get some commentary. But he basically said, he said people like you are extremists. You don't love the Constitution. You don't love the rule of law. That you see the elections as either we win or we were cheated, and that you are a clear and present threat to the democracy of America, as he kept calling it democracy. We're a constitutional republic, as you know.
Well, Brandon, last night you had my good friend Angela Shepherd on, so I guess she and I will be in that same place together, because we were in that courtroom together, sitting beside each other on Tuesday down in Montgomery for the hearing for the injunction on our machines, the use of the machines in this November. So I guess me and Herb will be spending some time together if that's the case.
Well, let's pray that's not the case, but that's what I think they would absolutely like. I think they're looking to violate the civil liberties and rights of anyone that opposes them, as we have seen with many Americans already having their front doors kicked in and armed agents pointing weapons at them and their family. Ty, thank you for the great news. Keep us updated on this. It shows, again, how people get involved. They can make a difference, right?
That's right. I mean, Lynn Phillips that filed this case is a member of our group, Local Alabama, and he just took it upon himself to file it, Brandon. And that's what we need. We need people like that, everyday citizens just standing up and doing the right thing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ty. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Ty, checking in concerning Alabama. Well, joining me now is, in fact, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, take one quick break, come right back. We'll get into our panel so we don't have to interrupt for a break during our panel as much. So we'll take a quick break, come right back, get right into our panel with Dr. Andy Woods, attorney and pastor, Dr. Woods, Leo Holman, and journalist here, Leo Holman, and historian Bill Federer. We'll be right back. In fact, why don't you do this? Tweet, text, email, Facebook, Gitter. Spread the word. We're about to play the clips of Biden and comment, as well as clips of Biden himself from years gone by. Well, you got to see these if you haven't. So don't go away. Let your friends know to join us right now as we're live. We'll be right back.
You're watching Lindell TV.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and due to your incredible support, the original My Slippers are almost completely sold out. As a special thank you, I am launching my brand new all-season slippers, slides, and sandals for as low as $29.98. This is a limited-time offer, so go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get all my new footwear for as low as $29.98. My all-season slippers are made with my exclusive four-layer design that you won't find in any other slipper. They're finished with a breathable fabric so you can wear them all year round. And my new slides and sandals are made with patented impact gel, making them ultra-comfortable and extremely durable. I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable footwear you'll ever own. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now to get your very own all-season slippers, slides, and sandals for as low as $29.98 with your promo code. This is an introductory offer, and it won't last long, so order now.
All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Joining me now is journalist Leo Holman, pastor and attorney Andy Woods, and historian Bill Federer. Gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast tonight. Thank you for joining us for this very special panel.
Great to be with you.
Thanks, Brian.
Good to be here.
Thank you, guys. All right, let me ask you this. Now, I'm being dead serious. How many of you think Joe Biden is mentally stable? How many of you think Joe Biden is either mentally unstable, has been for years, suffers from mental delusion, is narcissistic, congenital liar? I'm not joking. So let's let's just make sure we're setting the stage for who we're talking about here. Is this guy mentally stable, or is he just a congenital liar and narcissistic? Who wants to go first? How about you, Bill?
Well, years ago, I talked to someone who was on the inside that said, when Obama was in, Biden was vice president, and the country was run by Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, and Anita Dunn. After Obama's out, he goes down the street, builds a fortress, and who works for him? Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, and Anita Dunn. Biden gets in, who comes back to take over running the government? Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, and Anita Dunn. Basically, Biden's the puppet who just reads teleprompters. The country's run by these people behind the scenes that, from what I've been told, they basically take their direction from Obama, who takes it from George Soros and Klaus Schwab and all the rest. And they're more than happy to have him appear foolish because he's taking the heat while it's keeping the attention off of them.
Yeah. But you didn't address the question. Do you think this guy's also, though, an easy puppet because he is so narcissistic?
Yes, I think that he is not all there. I think that they probably are not telling him what the people are in the country are thinking about him. That he probably doesn't know that he's got somewhere around a 30% approval rating. He lives in a very protected environment, I'm sure.
What do you think, Leo?
Well, what more can you say than what Bill just said? This is not a man in charge of his faculties. This is a guy who recently took orders from the Easter Bunny. You remember he was out there, among the public, and he literally had to be shoved into his proper position by a man dressed in an Easter Bunny outfit. So, yeah, I think that speaks volumes.
Okay, but prior to his dementia, whatever he's got, do you think this man was a narcissistic, congenital liar, mentally unstable? What do you think?
I just think he's the type of guy who always wanted to go with the winning side. If you look at his career over his 40-year-plus political career, he waffled all over the place. I mean, this is a guy who used to be pro-life. Used to be pro-marriage between a man and a woman. As soon as he saw the political wind shifting, he changed his mind. This is not a man with any principles whatsoever. He simply takes the position that he thinks will propel him ahead and put him into positions of influence and power. And most of all, for Joe Biden, I think it's about the money.
Yeah. Andy Woods?
Well, the only thing that scares me more than a mentally unstable Biden is a mentally stable Biden. And I say that because this is a fellow, you'll recall, that plagiarized word for word an entire political speech.
Wow. And you had no idea. Ding, 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 ding. And the award tonight goes to Dr. Andy Woods because you had no idea what I was just setting up. No idea, did you, what I'm about to play?
No, but let me just say one other thing. A mentally stable Biden also is the guy who led the war on one of the most qualified Supreme Court nominees we've ever had, Robert Bork. And mm-hmm. I honestly believe the whole country would be different now, you know, had his nomination survived. If you're gonna have me pick between a stable Biden and an unstable Biden, I guess I'd prefer the unstable Biden.
Well, I will say that let me do my McLaughlin. The answer is, remember when McLaughlin used to rear back in his chair after asking everybody what he thought, and then he told him what he thought. I think the guy is narcissistic, and I think he's a congenital liar. I think he's been narcissistic and a congenital liar his whole life. But Dr. Woods, you brought up the history. You didn't know I was going to play this clip because this is exactly where I'm going with it as well. Watch this.
Democratic presidential candidate Joseph Biden today faces a controversy. 3 weeks ago at a debate at the Iowa State Fair, he used phrases identical to those delivered by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock.
Biden seemed to be claiming Kinnock's vision and life as his own.
Why is it that my wife is sitting out there in the audience is the first in her family to ever go to college?
Where is Gladys, the first woman in her family, in a thousand generations, to be able to get the university.
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and come up after 12 hours and play football.
8 hours underground, and then come up and play football.
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
The notion that every thought or notion or idea you'd have to go back and find and attribute to someone, I think is, quite frankly, ludicrous.
The problem here is that Senator Biden told his audience he'd just been thinking about these things, and he failed to give any credit at all to his famous British speechwriter.
You know, I was thinking on the way over here. Now, that's a little too much, because, as you point out, what's behind the words? What's there? And a lot of people, the rap on Biden has always been that it's just a surface.
I should have said, to paraphrase Neil Kinnock, it's the only time I didn't, in all the times I've ever used it.
But CBS News found a tape of a second instance.
It reappeared in the New York Times with a new charge, that Biden had appropriated a famous litany from the late Robert Kennedy about what the gross national product cannot measure.
It cannot measure the health of our children.
The health of our children.
The quality of our education.
The quality of their education.
The joy of their play.
Or the joy of their play.
Biden gave Kennedy no credit. He has also quoted or paraphrased John Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, and British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock, all without credit.
Joseph Biden admitted today that he committed plagiarism when he was in law school. He said it was a mistake, but that it was unintentional.
He quoted 5 pages of someone else's work without proper citation.
I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again.
Well, don't you feel great that he's going to be, that he's president, so-called president? He's done dumb things. He'll do dumb things again. Well, he just did another one last night, because that was some of the dumbest things I've ever seen politically, just, what, 6 to 8 weeks from an election. Who would ever talk that way, guys, if you fear the voters? If you fear the voters, would you ever give a speech like that? Bill?
Absolutely.
Okay, Leo,
not.
Go ahead, Leo. Would you?
That would be the last speech I would give if I was, you know, a couple months out ahead of a key midterm election and I really needed my party to hold on to power. So what that tells me, Brandon, is they are not worried about elections. In their eyes, they declared last night that the one-party state has arrived. That's how I saw that speech. They announced it on national TV. People, you now live in a one-party state. He talked about the Republican Party as if it were populated by criminals and, quote, extremists, but he didn't really define what that meant exactly. It's just people who, you know, he threw a bunch of accusations out there, which, you know, are completely bogus, like we don't respect the Constitution and we're trying to take people's freedoms away. I take it from that that was a reference to one freedom in particular being abortion. That's the only freedom that the Democrat Party has been able to stand up and fight for. All of the other freedoms they've been warring against. So it was nothing but a bunch of lies. And so all I can take away from it, Brandon, is that he's announced the arrival of the one-party state. Because if you belong to the opposing party, the Republican Party, you are no longer a legitimate American. That was the message last night. Now, he did point out that, you know, I think in trying to walk it back that, well, you know, it's not the entire Republican Party that we think is bad and evil. And it's just that part that is MAGA and ultra MAGA, but he didn't, as I said, define exactly what that entails. So all we can do is take him at his word. He just declared 73 million Americans who voted MAGA in the last presidential election to be extremists and potential terrorists.
Well said. Okay. Well said, Leo Holman from leoholman.com. Andy Woods from andywoodsministries.org. andywoodsministries.org is his website. You said on my radio show today, Dr. Woods, this guy is talking like he knows something's coming that we don't. Further explain that to this audience tonight.
Well, one of the things that bothered me about the speech, and frankly, it's bothered me the whole last couple years, is the Democratic Party leadership has just moved radically, aggressively to the left. And we remember very well the days of Bill Clinton, you know, where he tried to triangulate under the influence of the political counseling of Dick Morris at the time. He called himself a new Democrat. He said the era of big government is over. In other words, although he was a leftist, he made some sort of political attempt to go to the middle, you know, for political purposes, since his party, you remember, in 1994 got trounced in the midterms. And I don't see Biden doing that. I don't see him triangulating at all. I see him speaking and governing against the will of the American people, which shows me, much like what Leo is saying, that they know something that we don't know. You know, they know that elections are irrelevant. They know that they are now in charge. And what I saw last night was an in-your-face, we don't care, we're going right to the left, and there's really nothing you can do to stop us. No triangulation whatsoever. So that leads me to the conclusion that they know something, you know, that we don't know, either rigged elections or something that's coming on the scene, perhaps in October. It's almost like they're looking at elections as if they're somewhat irrelevant, the way they're acting and talking. And they've been acting this way for basically two years.
And they've been laying a narrative over and over. I go back to this document, the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism, put out by the White House June of 2021, that says if you're MAGA, if you're in favor of the policies of then-President Donald Trump, you're a threat. So they've been laying a narrative, Bill Federer, for some time. And it makes me wonder what it is they're going to do, maybe a false flag event, or maybe are they going to arrest Donald Trump, indict him and arrest him? Will they do that before the election? Will they do it after the election? There are words coming out that maybe it'll happen after the election. Newt Gingrich, Judge Napolitano, both have written that they think and said they think that the Justice Department will indict him. They're not saying, I don't mean to imply they agree with it, but they're saying that's what this Justice Department would go so far to do. And maybe they are, and maybe that's what they're laying the narrative for someone to then be so upset they do something dumb, or a false flag event, something is done horrific that's blamed on a MAGA person, and they can say, see, we told you so. What do you think is coming, Bill?
A couple different things. One is what we're witnessing is called psychological projection. Sigmund Freud coined the term, where rude people call everyone they don't like rude. Little kids do it. I didn't start the fight, you did. A cheating spouse will accuse the faithful spouse of being unfaithful. And so this blame-shifting technique, it's Jesse Smollett. Remember him?
Yes.
How he staged an attack against himself so that he could blame it on people of another race and get a riot started. It's the Governor Whitmer FBI kidnapping plot, right? So here you have the FBI planning, organizing a kidnapping plot, paying for it, setting up the meetings, and they get a couple of low IQ guys who think they're going out for beers and they give some of them marijuana and they record it all and they said, oh, we caught it. This is has a long history. And a couple instances worth noting. Stalin had a growing anti-Stalinist movement. And at the same time, he had a supporter named Sergei Kirov, who's giving speeches praising Stalin and getting a little too popular for Stalin's comfort. So Stalin has an idea. He would assassinate his own friend and supporter, Sergei Kirov, and eliminate a potential rival and blame the assassination on the anti-Stalinists. Nobody would suspect that he did it because they're friends, and everybody would believe the anti-Stalinists did it because they didn't like Stalin and they didn't like Sergei. He used this as an excuse to set up committees to do investigations and have hearings and to arrest people and to detain people and to kill over a million people in the first Great Purge of 1936-38. This strategy is also used by Hitler, right? There was an insurrection and the burning of the Reichstag, the German capital, and evidence points to Hitler's own people setting the fire. But Hitler decided to have hearings, and he began to falsely accuse his political opponents and has them brought in and detained and arrested and shot without a trial. And when the dust settled, Hitler didn't have many political opponents left, and Germany transitioned from the Weimar Republic to a dictatorship.
You're hearing Dr. Woods laughing back there. Why are you laughing? Because it's history repeating itself or what?
Well, I'm not laughing to make light of it. I'm laughing because what he says makes perfect sense.
It does.
And he's saying the king is naked. And I'm thinking, how come everybody else doesn't talk the way Bill does? he's just a common sense guy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, there's a couple more instances. One is the famous Mukden incident in 1931. The Japanese had a railroad off the coast of China, and they claimed there was an explosion. And they used this as an excuse to invade China, kill over 100,000 people in Nanking. Later, there was an international investigation. They walked the whole railroad line. There was no explosion. They just made it up, right? So you make up a violent act that you can blame on your enemy as an excuse to go in and kill him.
Dr. Federer, isn't that kind of also what the Gulf of Tonkin incident was semi-similar to that?
Yeah, you had a ship in the harbor and a couple shots were made at it, and that was an excuse for Lyndon Johnson to get involved in the war. Another is the Gliwice incident. So the Nazis wanted to invade Poland, but world public opinion wouldn't support it. So they had Nazi soldiers dress up as Polish soldiers and stage an attack on a German outpost. And they took pictures and the news spread that the Polish had attacked the Germans. And that was the justification for Germany to invade Poland and conquer it. A similar thing happened in the Winter War, where the Soviets wanted to invade Finland. And world public opinion wouldn't support it. So the Soviets shelled one of their own Russian villages on the Finnish border and made it look like the Finns did it. And that was the excuse that they used to invade Finland during the Winter War. Another was Istanbul. They had a secular leader named Ataturk that founded the country. But by the 1950s, there was Menendez, and he was a fundamentalist radical, and he was wanting to get rid of the remnant of the Greek Christian Orthodox in Istanbul. And so the plot was to have a Turkish university student blow up the Turkish consulate and Ataturk's birthplace and blame it on these Greek Orthodox Christians. The bomb never went off, but the newspapers ran with the story anyway, and it whipped Istanbul into a jihad frenzy. They attacked the Greek Orthodox neighborhoods, destroyed 80 churches, smashed windows, pulled the Greek Orthodox priests out of their bed, and ripped off their beard. And when the dust settled, there were no Greek Orthodox left. So you stage an attack against the innocent and use an excuse to eradicate them. Erdogan did a similar thing. There was a growing anti-Erdogan movement in Turkey. So Erdogan gets in an airplane, flies in a circle, claims there was a coup attempt against him, and he pulls out a list of all of his political opponents and has hearings and has detained them and arrested them and zip ties them and takes them away, and they've not been seen since. So this is the standard operating procedure. It goes all the way back to Plato. He said, when a tyrant first appears above ground, he's a protector. He's full of smiles. He's promising everything to everybody. But when he begins to lose in popularity, when he begins to grow unpopular, he realizes his fraud is no longer working, and the only tool he has left is force. And so he purges his military of anybody with virtue. It says that he cancels the debts of the poor people so that he can gain their loyalty. He frees the convicts and the illegal aliens and arms them to become his mob to destroy his political opponents. And finally, he stands up in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant.
Wow. That is amazing history.
I put it in a book. It's called Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present.
So if everybody wants that history you just gave, it's in a book. And what is the name of the book again?
It's called Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present.
And they can get it at what?
AmericanMinute.com.
AmericanMinute.com. AmericanMinute.com. Fascinating. Before we go to the first clip of Biden, do you want to respond to that, Leo?
I think it's – I've read the book, by the way. Excellent, excellent. I recommend it to anyone. But he's right. We're in a very dangerous position right now in America. I think we're very vulnerable. Why? Because we have this government in power that is weak. It is highly – by weak, I mean they're highly unpopular, to the point of being hated. Biden has a 38% approval rating. But it is at this point, which Dr. Federer so eloquently described, that a dictatorship can be the most dangerous. It can lash out. It can create a false flag attack and blame it on its enemies. It can start rounding up its enemies. And then the whole ball of wax is lost. We're this close, folks, to losing the whole republic. This is a very pivotal moment in history.
General Michael Flynn was on my program two nights ago for 55 minutes, talked about how we are very close to a tipping point we cannot recover from.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go to the first clip by Joe Biden last night in Philadelphia, the first clip, and we'll have you guys respond to these clips.
First, must be honest with each other.
Hold on a second. Guys, we're going to go to the clips in the control room. You guys ready? Here we go.
With ourselves. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic. I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans.
And of course, I guess what he's talking about there, Dr. Woods, would be the Uniparty, the Republicans and the Democrats, who I guess, as we learned at the Moment of Truth Summit, turned out it was probably the Republicans that first started cheating using voting machines. And then the Democrats screamed and hollered. And then somewhere along the way, the Democrats are doing it in conjunction with the Republicans. And they're all working together. And we noticed a lot of this cheating was in Republican-controlled states. So apparently there's a uniparty now, and the cabal decides which Republicans they want, which Democrats they want. And I guess Joe Biden is pretty comfortable with the Democrat, the Republicans that are part of that uniparty. What say
but,
you?
Brandon, I think even that is a facade. Because, I mean, look what he said there. We're not normal, and we represent extremism. These are very vague terms, undefined terms. And then he went on to say that not all Republicans are part of this group that is not normal and extremist, and that he's able to work across the aisle with some of them. But on the one hand, the reason we can tell that he's lying there is because you look at the Supreme Court right now. Democrats have been railing against the U.S. Supreme Court, saying that it's illegitimate. It needs to be ignored. It's no longer a institution that supports our democracy. They're undermining our democracy. Well, why is that? Because three justices were put on there by Donald Trump. Who voted for those justices? Even some of these so-called good Republicans like Susan Collins voted for, I believe, all three of these justices. I'm not sure about Romney, but I think he voted for at least two of them. Who are this small group of Republicans that he says are the good Republicans? He doesn't define it.
Anyone else want to comment?
Well, what struck me about that speech is, first of all, the optics. The optics to me are unbelievable. I mean, who approved these optics? The red and the military or the Marines there in the background? I've never in my lifetime, seen anything like that. And the other thing about the speech is he doesn't talk about anything that the American people are concerned about. He doesn't talk about the open border. He doesn't talk about the high gas prices. He doesn't talk about inflation. He doesn't talk about rising crime all over the country. What he does is he spends the speech attacking at least, I would argue, more than half of the country. And you're dealing with somebody that is speaking and governing against the will of the American people in this speech. And it's almost like he doesn't care, which leads me to conclude that he knows something, that the rest of us don't know.
Exactly. Let's go to the next clip.
But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. These are hard things. But I'm an American president, not a president of red America, blue America, but of all America.
Well, again, I would say liar, liar, pants on fire, because he clearly is not the president of all people. Is he, Bill Federer, when he talks like that?
No. Again, it's still full of projection. He's the, you know, David Axelrod was Obama's campaign advisor, and he was on NPR radio in 2010. And he said, in Chicago politics, we have a tradition where you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent, to say you've been attacked. In other words, they destroyed the country and they want to blame their opponent for it. You know, I was two things. One, remembering Obama, and he gave a speech to the Jews, and he was all fired up. And he says, the defense of Israel is sacrosanct, and they all cheer. And the very next day, he's being interviewed, and they said, well, you know, this could make some people feel bad. And he goes, well, I misspoke. And he basically threw the Jews under the bus and said that the protection of Israel is not sacrosanct. But no, it got very little coverage, right? So what he said in the speech is what is the real issue here. And, you know, Senator Rubio, Florida, was on Fox right after the Mar-a-Lago raid. And he said this. This was August 12th of this year. He says, this is shocking, but in Latin America and in many of the countries around the world, here's what happens. A group takes power, like when Mike Pence gave the presidency to Biden. A group takes power. One of the first things is they begin to persecute and go after their political opponents, where the supporters of their political opponents begin to complain. When the supporters of their opponents begin to complain, they begin to target and criminalize opposition. The next thing you're going to see, because it's in the playbook, is going to be that the people who are supporters of Donald Trump or just conservatives are going to begin to get labeled as potential insurrectionists and harassed by law enforcement. And so that's what I think is what we're being set up for, is that whenever you see a leader dropping in popularity, they can no longer do their fraud, and all they have left is force, that's when they purge their military of anybody with virtue and morals, and then they use the military to enforce their agenda. It's naive of us to think that the people on the left that are wanting to push their agenda through schools, through courts, through Hollywood, through Disney, through anything imaginable, that they'll somehow not be tempted to want to push their agenda at the end of a gun. And historically, whenever you see Lenin takes power, he purged the military of anybody that was faithful to the old Russian fatherland, you know, and even back to Diocletian, third century AD, he lost some battles with Persia and asked his generals why. And they said, well, you've neglected the Roman gods. So Diocletian orders the military to return to worshiping the Roman gods. Well, there's a lot of Christians in the military. This is the third century AD, and the previous emperor had been lax, but they could not return to worshiping the Roman gods, so they're forced out. Once the Christians are forced out of the military, Diocletian uses the military to force the entire Roman Empire to return to worshiping the Roman gods, and starts the worst persecution, province by province, arresting pastors, tearing down churches, burning the scriptures, boiling them alive. It goes on for 10 years. And so it's naive of us to think that you can purge the military with critical race theory of anybody that has morals and virtue, and the people that are so adamant of pushing their agenda that they're somehow not going to be tempted to want to push their agenda with the FBI and with the law enforcement.
Absolutely. I mean, it's marginalized, characterized. I've been saying this for years. Marginalized, characterized, terrorized, then legalize the terrorizing. Marginalized, characterized, terrorized, then legalize the terrorizing of your enemy. And that's what's going on. Let's go to the next clip. Well said, Bill Federer. Here's the next clip.
And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers to undermine democracy itself.
Well, that's interesting coming from a guy who is party locked arms with Zuckerberg, who used, what, $400 million, it's reported, to put illegal drop boxes down everywhere, breaking state laws left and right. Anyone want to disagree with me or agree with me on that one?
No, I agree with you. You know, George Washington, and I write history books, and so I always like to go back and go through this. He warned about parties and factions and one part over another. And another interesting person that I think is worth noting is William Henry Harrison, the ninth president. And he, in his inaugural address, which was the only address that he gave because he wasn't in office very long, he warns about the spirit of party. And he says, the true spirit of liberty is mild and tolerant, while the spirit of party